Your body's trying to tell you something. It's giving you hints that something isn't right. That's why we talk with expert dietitians to break down these early warning signs so you can get closer to understanding what your body is trying to tell you. Have you noticed changes in your urine? If you've noticed less urine than normal, you'll want to tune into this episode. On today's episode of Wonder Why, we bring on Aubrey Salvador to talk urine. Aubrey is a registered dietitian who possesses an unwavering passion and commitment to improving the lives of others through optimal nutrition. Aubrey has a comprehensive background in various facets of nutrition with a special interest for renal nutrition. She has earned her degree at New Mexico State University and completed her dietetic internship in Seattle, Washington, diligently crafting herself into a well-rounded dietitian she is today. She spent her career working with patients with kidney disease in dialysis centers, a kidney transplant center, and her own private practice. Welcome, Aubrey.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. I'm very pleased to have you on the episode today to talk about something super important.
Me too. I'm excited to share all my experience in this area.
Amazing. So based on your specialty, there's something really interesting that can be happening to the body that people need to be aware of. What's happening when you're going to the bathroom and your urine output has decreased dramatically? What's going on?
Yeah, so I would say that there are a lot of things that can show any issues that are happening with your kidneys, but one of the largest ones is that the kidney is responsible for producing urine, and it's part of our whole urinary tract. And so when people start noticing a decrease in the amount of urine they're producing, or any changes in their urine, such as blood in the urine or foamy urine, that can indicate that something is going on with that whole system, which is your urinary tract, which starts from the beginning of the kidney. People will also just have additional, that fluid has to go somewhere, so it's staying within the body. So an individual may notice what we call edema. So swelling, it can go to any part in the body. Normally it's in the extremities, so the hands or the feet. The patients can also notice it in their face. Not always can you see it in the chest cavity, but you can probably feel it with some shortness of breath. But that is a major symptom that something is going on with your kidneys if you're seeing changes in your urine output.
Is there any other symptoms? So it sounds like decrease in urine. Is there any other surrounding symptoms that also can present itself?
Yeah, like a lot of other disease states, it's similar things. If you start to have a decrease in your appetite, many patients with kidney issues may have a metallic taste in their mouth. We call it that you're uremic. So you just have additional toxins in your body that don't make you feel as well. Fatigue is also comes with it, which it's unfortunate that some of those symptoms can be pretty broad, right? And they can lead to other things, not just kidney issues. But the combination of your urine production looking different, or you're not producing as much urine, you're not wanting to eat, you have a metallic taste in your mouth, you're more fatigued and tired. Those are all things that could indicate, you know, something's going on with one of your organs. And a lot of things come back to the kidney that I don't think a lot of people really understand the full capacity and function of the two kidneys that we have. Because we do have two, which is a really cool thing too, because in organ donation, the kidney is the only one that can come from a living individual. So we can live with one kidney. So we kind of have a spare organ, if you'd say.
Now, you mentioned earlier when we were talking that there's changes in the substance of your urine and what can be contained inside of it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So mostly we call it proteinuria, meaning that you have protein spilling into your urine. The filtration of the kidney is just opening, and more of that filtration is not filtering as well. And so we would see foam in the urine, or if a patient gets blood tests, they can actually check if there's protein in the urine, which a normal functioning kidney, you should not have protein in your urine. You can also see some blood in the urine because the capillaries of the kidney may be bleeding. And so you're going to see some signs of that. And so any changes that you see in just the amount or the presentation of your urine is something to look at that you need to go see a doctor to see what's going on with the kidneys and possibly get referred to a kidney specialist.
Now, you mentioned something about foam earlier. How does that foam present? Like, let's say someone's looking, you know, whether you're a man or you're a woman, you look in the toilet bowl. Do you see foam? Like, what does that look like? And when should you really start paying attention that maybe this is something that's going on?
Yeah. So it's like a white foamy consistency that would just be, you know, it can be in larger amounts, but any kind of foam in your urine should not be there at all. Again, a happy kidney is a hydrated kidney. So the more hydrated you stay, the better. And so urine should just really not have a strong smell or anything like that. It should just be like a light yellowish color. So if there's any bits of foam, that's not normal. So it can be in larger amounts for some individuals or small amounts. But again, that's not a normal presentation of urine. So at any point that there is any would be a time to, you know, follow up with a primary care who would then refer you to a nephrologist. Again, as a registered dietitian, I would recommend somebody reaching out to an RD because that's not always a piece that a doctor may have in the beginning stages of kidney issues.
You know, it's always interesting. You kind of feel intimidated by your doctor. How do you communicate this to your doctor to make him make sure that it's taken seriously and it's taken through the right steps? What would you tell your doctor if you present urine, a decrease in urine, blood in the urine? I mean, I think blood in the urine obviously is probably a pretty obvious one. So that isn't, but it seems like, you know, what do you tell your doctor? Hey, doctor, I've got a reduction in my urine. Like, you know, what do you tell the doctor in order for him to take it seriously to want to get some further testing?
Yeah. So typically just in the United States, most individuals are going to have to see a primary who would refer them to a specialist. So in a lot of situations, they would get that initial blood work. The great thing about the kidney is that we never guess because the blood work tells us what's going on. So if somebody's starting to see these symptoms or these signs, you would want to right away go and see if you can get blood work done and see your primary care. At that point, when they draw blood work, they're going to refer to the specialist that they need to, which it would be a consultation with a nephrologist. And so I think the best thing for people to just ask questions and not just like sit and be a spectator when it is your health and your life and your future that is at stake. And so just asking those questions, but normally most individuals can't just go to a nephrology office and see them because those doctors are also required to get a referral from a primary. So just getting that blood work done, checking in with your primary doctor, asking, you know, is there any specialist I should see? Again, maybe it's a urologist that they see or a nephrologist, or maybe it's both. So both those doctors are going to work hand in hand with just the whole system of where the kidney starts and what it goes through.
You mentioned something in the pre-show that you've seen more and more younger people, I mean, in their 20s and 30s, getting kidney transplants or entering into late stages of kidney failure. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on and why is that even happening?
Yeah. So I would say when I graduated college, this was not the standard for a renal patient. We typically would see older individuals in their 60s, 70s with diabetes, with high blood pressure. You know, with age, the organs just they get slower and they don't function as much. But in the last probably 6 years of my career, I have seen a lot of 30, 40. I've seen 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds with kidney-related issues. The two leading causes, which I think the one that probably is more prevalent in the United States is high blood pressure, because not everybody has a blood pressure cuff. Blood pressure is considered a silent killer because there's not a lot of symptoms leading up to blood pressure. So we know with the diet, like high sodium diets are going to lead to high blood pressure, but also in individuals not going to see their doctors annually. And so a lot of eating out high sodium foods are leading to this younger population of developing high blood pressure, which then develops into kidney issues. Some people may have autoimmune stuff going on. I've seen a lot of IgA nephropathy in patients, which is an autoimmune that can be happening. So there are a lot of variations that of what is the cause of kidney failure. But the first steps is really figuring out, like, are you doing everything that you can preventatively to not affect one of our vital organs.
Give us an example of like common foods that people are eating today that would be in high sodium and that could eventually cause issues like this down the road.
Yeah. So the general population, it's recommended to have 2,300 milligrams of sodium a day, which when you look at that, one meal could have that amount. And so eating out, eating highly processed foods, not being aware of sodium, a lot of individuals, I don't think, are aware of what the recommendation is. I personally tell patients, if I gave you $2,000 every day, would you have savings or would you be in debt, right? So they can kind of look at that number and be like, okay, I'm getting this chicken sausage. It says organic. It says good source of protein. But they turn around and look at that food label and they're seeing like, oh, there's 1,100 milligrams of sodium in one of these links and I'm going to eat two, which then they know 2,300 or about 2,000 is the daily recommendation. They can say, okay, I'm going to exercise today. I'm going to drink more water today. I don't do this all the time. But that awareness is not really there in understanding like what is high sodium and how that affects your blood pressure, which then in return can affect your kidney.
This is some pretty scary stuff. Are people catching this early? Like what's happening?
Yeah. So I would say just awareness around kidney disease needs to be talked about more. I think that individuals, just by getting annual blood work, can help with a lot of things. You know, it sounds very similar. Every dietitian is going to say exercise and eat healthy, but even more so for a kidney. In my 10 years of experience in working with patients, I know that it could have been prolonged or maybe completely avoided had some things been known on their side and they could have made decisions and choices that would have helped. There are 5 stages of kidney disease. And so the 5th one is when you're end stage renal. Patients can definitely reverse or prolong or know their options for different modalities at stage 1. And they will see a kidney doctor in the progression of that. Some patients, in my experience, will not have interaction with a dietitian until they get to that stage 5 when they're on dialysis, which needs to change. And in my field, I have personally tried to do that with patients that I've seen. I have one particular patient that was referred to me by his nephrologist, had bipolar disorder, and was on a medication called lithium for majority of his life. And they know that with lithium, it can cause kidney issues. So they would run labs routinely just to check the progression of his kidney. Well, it got to a point where they were not looking so great. And so he was referred to me. And I worked for this individual for, I think, 4 months, 3 or 4 months. And now he's not even in a stage of chronic kidney disease. He came to me at stage 3 and he just understood. He understood inflammation. He understood the functions of the kidney, what overworks the kidney, just lifestyle changes like stress and sodium intake that he could have control of. Because when it comes to the kidney, sometimes patients don't have that opportunity or chance to do something because it's too late. But it's very empowering for a patient to be like, you know what? You have to eat every day. Let's talk about the things that you can do that help your kidney and don't hurt your kidney. So there are a lot of things people can do. It's just, unfortunately, sometimes it's caught when it is too late.
So where do you start to explore if this is something that might be going on with you? Where do you begin?
So my recommendation would be to get annual blood work done with your doctor. Now, if somebody has a history of kidney issues, if somebody has an issue or a history of autoimmune disease in their family, a history of diabetes or high blood pressure, those are key things to look at. And really, the general population, when we look at prevention, if you have insurance, you should get annual blood work done. You should ask questions. You should really look at, okay, last year I got this done and why did it go up 20 points? Is that normal? Is that not okay? A lot of times, you know, doctors will say, it looks good. All the labs look good. And we don't look at them until they're right over. But let's say the value is 20 and you're at 19 and the last year you were at 10. we kind of wait to even do anything about that until they're too much out of range. So just getting annual blood work done. Lupus can cause issues. So again, that's an autoimmune. So just knowing like what can cause issues to the kidney is, do I have a family history of any of those things? And have I seen my primary to get annual blood work done?
And does standard annual blood work check the kidneys?
Yes.
Okay, great. So they don't have to ask for something specific.
Mm-mm. Yeah, because they'll check liver, kidney, heart, endocrine system. So they will check the kidneys. And again, if there's more tests that need to be done, they may check and see, okay, this is a little bit abnormal. Let's recheck it. For example, BUN, which is one of the labs, it can be indicated of dehydration or if somebody had a really hard workout the day before. So if a doctor sees a young individual and they're like, oh, your BUN's a little bit elevated. And the individual says, yeah, I did a long run yesterday, or I do CrossFit or some high intensity workout, because of the timing of the blood work, that could indicate. But again, they're going to look at those labs to see the basics of the kidney in any annual blood work that you get done with a doctor.
Now, let's say, take this a little step further. You're working with a renal dietitian. What can you expect from them?
You can expect that they're going to listen and not be like the food police and being like, don't ever eat this. You can expect a lot of education and just like awareness of some of the foods that we would commonly think are healthy. For example, a lot of people kind of get shocked when I'm like, there are certain fruits and vegetables that if your kidneys are not working well, can cause a heart attack, can cause abnormal heart rates and a heart attack. And we think that's crazy, right? Like I could eat a banana or tomatoes or avocados to the point where I could have a heart attack. But it's because understanding the function of the kidney and what the kidney is responsible for. And that's why dietitians are so involved, because it's equal to the medication as the food. And so a renal dietitian is going to look individually at you. There is no cookie cutter. We are going to look at blood work. We're going to look at your lifestyle, your eating patterns. It's very geared to that individual specifically. And then looking at the things that we need to educate on, be aware of. And the cool thing is that it's really things that a patient can control. So that's the empowering and beautiful part of this all, is that we can control it and the patient can control it and take back some of the things that they feel like, well, what can I do? You know, my doctor told me my kidneys are failing. But understanding like, what can you do to not continue on that path, or like help in the state that you're in? And again, all insurances in the US will cover a dietitian with any stage of chronic kidney disease. So you could be stage one and you should see a dietitian. You may not always be referred by your doctor, but patients or individuals can definitely reach out to their insurance and see if there's any dietitians that they can work with in a preventative state.
Aubrey, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. It's been very insightful. Usually we talk about early prevention, and this is still prevention. This is just a little bit later stage. So this is a really important subject matter, and we'd love to have you back at some point.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And again, this is one of my biggest passions, so I could talk about it all day if I needed to.
Thank you, Aubrey. Thank you for tuning into the Wonder Why podcast. If today's episode resonated with you or reminded you of someone struggling with similar symptoms, please share it with them. It might just be the life-changing moment they need. This show is brought to you by Dietitians for a Healthy America, a nonprofit dedicated to advocating for dietitians and promoting nutritional therapy to enhance health and prevent diseases for all Americans. For more information, visit our website, www.dietitianshealthieramerica.org. Until next time, stay curious and empowered in your health journey.